Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. You're listening to Regional News here on KVNF. I'm Travis Bubinick. The CEO of Colorado's new health exchange is trying to play down criticism of her recent request for a raise. The Denver Post reports that in October, Connect for Health Colorado CEO Patty Fontenot asked the health exchange board for an end-of-year raise. Fontenot described criticism of that request as a distraction, saying her staff and team are focused on getting Coloradans signed up for the exchange. Fontenot has reportedly asked the board to table any discussions about the raise or other issues with compensation for management, saying exchange officials need to focus on enrollments right now. Meanwhile, Colorado U.S. Representative Cory Gardner is set to introduce legislation today to strictly prohibit executives of state-run health exchanges from receiving end-of-year raises or bonuses. Colorado is one of 17 such states with its own online health exchange. And the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports Democrat Don Quick has his eyes set on the Colorado Attorney General's race, making him the only Democrat up for election to replace Republican John Suthers. As the Daily Sentinel reports, Quick previously worked in the Attorney General's office under Ken Salazar. During his time there, he created a few prosecution units that still exist today, among them the Foreign Prosecution Unit and the Environmental Crimes Unit. Quick left the office back in 2002 when Salazar was elected to the U.S. Senate, but went on to become district attorney in the 17th Judicial District, serving Adams and Broomfield counties along the Front Range. John Suthers is leaving the office because his term limit is up. Mark Waller and Cynthia Kaufman are the state GOP candidates competing to win the Republican primary for the race. Kaufman has been Suthers' chief deputy since Salazar left the office. According to the Daily Sentinel, Quick says he'd like to see fewer prosecutions from the Attorney General's office, specifically with juveniles. Quick says as Attorney General, in lieu of more prosecutions, he'd put emphasis on so-called diversion programs that keep kids away from crime. And winter athletes across western Colorado are gearing up for their shot at the U.S. Olympic team. Four Telluride athletes on the U.S. ski team are among those hoping to compete in Sochi, Russia in February. The Telluride Daily Planet reports Hagen Kearney, John Drisco, Gus Kenworthy, and Keaton McCargo were informed they made the U.S. team last week and now have their eyes on international competitions. The four from Telluride all have extensive backgrounds in competitive skiing. Drisco finished in the top 10 in a handful of World Cup competitions and some other events. According to the Daily Planet, teenager Keaton McCargo has already taken two first-place finishes in the Nor-Am Cup and two first-place titles in the Junior World Ski Championships. Free skier Gus Kenworthy won a Euro X Games bronze medal last year and won the Association of Free Skiing Professionals title for the third time. Colorado athletes in Aspen are also competing in races that will determine whether they make Team USA. Ski racer Noah Hoffman is one of them. He's the top distance Nordic skier in the country, and he's preparing for upcoming races in Norway and Finland. The 24-year-old says he's ready after hundreds of hours of training this summer. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin has more.
Come on, guys! Come on, get it!
One of the coaches for the U.S. Nordic ski team captured on video dry land practice earlier this year. The Nordic team uses roller skis to push up hills and glide. When the snow falls, the athletes travel around the world, training and competing on challenging courses. Hoffman says his Colorado childhood prepared him for such a grueling schedule.
My parents had me alpine skiing early. I used to alpine ski at Loveland from the time I was 2 years old.
His family moved to Aspen when he was a third grader, and in middle school, he got into cross-country skiing.
I did it purely for fun at the beginning. My friends and I would go out and we'd build snow forts and we'd build snowmen during practice. I was definitely not serious. I got serious after freshman year of high school.
The breakthrough performance that launched him to the world stage happened just out of high school when he raced at the World Junior Championships. It was a memorable competition, starting with a last-minute change.
The venue had been moved. It was supposed to be in a different location in Italy, but there wasn't snow, so they moved it to a town called Malls, Italy. The venue was not really big enough to handle that size of race field.
More than 100 racers zipped across a narrow bridge, a few at a time. That's when Hoffman ran into trouble.
And I almost made it across the bridge when a skier fell on my skis, and I tried to get free, and I tried to yank up on my ski to get it loose, and I ripped the binding off my ski.
As the entire field of skiers zipped by, Hoffman's coach grabbed a ski from a German coach nearby. Hoffman used that ski to finish the race. He placed 23rd overall. This February, Hoffman had another career best. He took 15th place at the World Nordic Ski Championships in Italy. He raced the 15-kilometer course against the winner, Petter Northug of Norway, who collapsed and cried at the finish line. Nordic skiers tend to push themselves to the limit, and Hoffman's no exception. He plans to enter three Olympic events, the 15-kilometer classic ski, the 50-kilometer skate ski race, and a 30-kilometer skiathon, which combines classic and skate skiing.
His biggest strength is what we call a big engine, a big motor. He's a hill climber. The hillier and the harder the course and the longer the course, the better it is for Noah.
That's John Callahan, Noah Hoffman's longtime coach. He's worked with the distance skier for a decade, starting when Hoffman was training at the Aspen Valley Ski and Snowboard Club in Aspen. Now he says he's drawing up training plans for Hoffman and chats with him over the phone before races.
He'll tell me about what the course looks like, some of the courses I may have skied. You know, and I can remember some parts, you know, some of the courses.
Callahan was an Olympian himself in 1992, but he says the competition's different now. Scandinavian countries dominated the world scene for years. Now the United States has become a big player. He expects Hoffman to be part of the U.S. team that medals this Olympics.
I think he has an excellent shot of making the team. He's right now going into the season, I think he'd be considered by most as the favorite from the U.S. to make the team. Barring any injury or illness, I can't imagine he won't be on the team.
Hoffman's excited about the Olympic Games in Sochi, but he's already planning beyond that.
If I make this Olympics, I'm really looking at it as a building block and an opportunity to get experience and go out. My goal is to get a top 10, but I want to come back in South Korea in 4 years and go out there and win an Olympic race, win the gold medal.
The cross-country Olympic team will be announced shortly before the Games start on February 7th. Marcy Krivenin, Aspen Public Radio News.
And that report comes to us from Rocky Mountain Community Radio. A much-celebrated dog sledding operation in the Aspen area is fighting claims that its owner, Dan McEachin, left dogs underfed and chained in kennels not built for extreme cold. As the Denver Post reports, Snowmass Village police are responding to allegations of animal cruelty at McEachin's Krablunik dog sledding operation, a tourist hotspot in the Aspen area. Snowmass Village police and 9th Judicial District Attorney Sherry Colloy are currently investigating the site. The Post reports state animal care investigators have previously looked into whether dogs at Krablunik were properly fed. One investigation from October found nutrition concerns with nearly 40 of the 250 dogs on the property. McEachin has reportedly defended his treatment of the dogs, saying any that appear to be malnourished are actually just a leaner breed of dogs. Critics, meanwhile, have pushed for the Snowmass Village Town Council to end Krablunik's 20-year lease, which started in 2006. Lee Vogel, with one of the groups fighting the operation, said Krablunik patrons are getting a, quote, fake, diluted wilderness experience at the price of poor conditions for the dogs. Others are saying the debate represents more of a cultural debate than anything else, with some Aspen area residents pushing for tighter animal cruelty laws, while others say doing that could hurt the agriculture industry. You're listening to Regional News here on KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.